Lord, we do welcome you into this place. You have everything that we need. This world has nothing that we need. But Lord, you have it all. So Lord, we've come to you as needy people. How we need you. We don't have anything in ourselves. But we need you. And we need a touch from God. Every single one of us in this room. Some people have come here carrying such burden. Addiction, pain, suffering. Let me speak to you. How long are you going to attempt in the flesh to solve your problems? And when are you going to yield to the Lord? He is the healer, and in his name, Satan flees, and the enemy flees, and the oppression in our lives falls off, thanks to the Lord. What you need is him. What you don't need is, you know, I remember in my own life how many times I felt like what I really needed is that I could solve my problems if you just gave me a little more time, or a little more money, a little more wisdom, a little more education. No, you need Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what you need. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, last week, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I believe that a lot of people are going to get touched today. That's what I've come to do. And I had probably 5 different sermons I wanted to preach today. And I don't have time to do them all. And so I actually felt like what I want to do is just tell you about the man that I love. Can I do that? I believe that if you fall in love with Jesus, it will solve everything that you've ever wanted. In him was life. In him was life. And I want to preach on a message I'm going to call, Who is this man? Who is this man? And I want to start, if I can take you, I'm just going to talk. I have nothing prepared. I'm just going to talk to you about this man. Is that okay? I'm just going to tell you about him. Some of you think you know him and you don't. And you don't. And that's why we are the way we are. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that changes the heart of man. And who is this man? Back before the world was, Lucifer stood before God, and Lucifer was the highest being that God created. Are you aware of this? Lucifer, the great angel of heaven, perfect in all his ways. You know, scripture says that he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. And this Lucifer stood before God. He was the leader of the hosts of heaven in worshiping the Lord. His body is made of musical instruments. That's what it was in heaven. And he worshiped God. And he sees God create this universe. And it's beautiful and filled with splendor. And you know what's in his heart? What is he thinking? Oh, this must be for me. Do you guys see this? This must be for me. This whole thing. I am the great one. I am the highest of the high in heaven. Who else would this be for? And he sees God create all this goodness. And then he sees God create man. Made out of dirt and flesh. And God says, to this one, I have given dominion. And I have created the universe for him. And Lucifer says, no. No, Lord, not them. Don't you see they are weak? And he looks at God and he says, I will not serve them. He says, what, time out, Lucifer, go serve them. I made you to serve them. He says, no, the strong shouldn't serve the weak, but the weak should serve the strong. They should worship me. They should serve me, not me them. This is what Lucifer has to say to God in the throne room. And a seed was planted in the heart of Lucifer, which was this, that God is not just and that God is not good. Are you guys seeing this? And he believes it. And the Lord looks at him and says, Lucifer, go serve these people that I've created to be my children. And he says, I will not do it. In fact, I will show you, Lord, how weak they are. And he's cast out of heaven when a third of the hosts of heaven follow him. Why did they rebel? Why did they leave? It's because they believed God was not good. Many of you here have turned away from God before, at least once in your life. What was the seed that caused you to turn away from him deep down? It's always the doubt of the goodness of God. That's what causes us to turn our head from him. And so Lucifer sees God asking him to serve man. He says, I won't do it. In fact, I will go down and I will show you, you made a mistake, God. You made a mistake by choosing them. You should have chosen me. And he goes down and he goes, of course, we know the story. He goes into the garden and he deceives man into turning away from God. And then he points the finger and he looks at God and he says, do you see how weak they really are? They deserve nothing. And he, you know what Satan is called is the accuser of the brethren. What does he live to do? Accuse you. And he shows you how unworthy you are of God's affection. Are you guys following this? You are unworthy of God's affection. You have failed. You have failed. And every man that has come in contact with him has failed at just the faintest whisper from Lucifer himself. And what does he always whisper? He says, God's not good. Don't obey him. He actually just wants you to serve. You should live for yourself, should you not? This good God doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not good at all. If he was good, he would have let me be in charge. And so he goes throughout all time, and he's constantly everywhere looking at God, pointing the finger at God, saying, God is not good. These men that he's made are weak. They're full of sin. They don't deserve anything that God has given them. God gave them the right to be called children of God. It should have been me. It should have been me. And along comes something new. Who is this man? We've heard rumor of that there is a man born in Bethlehem. And the angels have come, and some of Lucifer's minions come come with him. And they say, we heard of a man born in Bethlehem who's the angels have come and said that he's coming to take away the sins of the world. And Lucifer says to himself what? He says, oh, God's tried this before. He tried it with Noah. He tried it with Moses. Tried it with Abraham. Tried it with David. I'll go get the, we'll see, says Lucifer to his team. Are you guys following this? We'll see who this man really is. Who is this man? And Jesus, born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, they say, this certainly can be. This is nobody, right? This is a nobody. Kings are born in palaces, not in stables. But nonetheless, because of the word of the Lord going forth, Satan starts to get afraid. He starts to be afraid, and he says, let's kill him before he can become who he needs to be. And so he fills Herod, who was the leader of Israel at the time. And Herod goes after the babies in Bethlehem and kills every baby in Bethlehem. Did you know that? Every baby boy under the age of two in Bethlehem. It's a reworking of the Exodus narrative. And all of them are put to death. But the Lord rescues Mary and Joseph and their baby, whose name is Jesus. And they go into exile to Egypt for a period of time to save his life. And as this baby grows, people are starting to ask questions about this baby. Jesus is taken to the temple, and the Spirit of God starts to fill people there, and they start prophesying over this baby. And everyone is starting to wonder, who is this baby? Who is this baby that's been born? The shepherds come and worship him. The kings are nowhere to be found, but the shepherds and the lowly of the earth have come to worship this baby. And they're all asking this question, who is this man? Who is this baby that's been born? He's taken to the temple at the age of 12, and he starts to teach the leaders of the Jews, this 12-year-old. And they're wondering, how is this boy, this 12-year-old boy, know more about the Lord than we do? We have devoted our entire life to studying about God, and yet this boy seems to claim more than we know about him. And he continues on. And he goes out to get baptized when he's 30 years old by his cousin, whose name is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist sees Jesus coming. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon John. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world." And everyone is questioning, what does this mean? Who is this man who can take away sins? Who is this man? And he comes before John, who is the prophet of the day, the spiritual leader for a vast majority of the people. And Jesus comes to him and says, "Baptize me." And John says, "No way am I baptizing you. You need to baptize me, Jesus." And Jesus says, "No, let it be done for all righteousness to be fulfilled." And so Jesus gets baptized, and the Spirit of God comes upon him like a dove and settles on him and carries him away into the wilderness. You know, the Spirit of God led him to the wilderness. And here we have the first confrontation with Jesus, the man, and Lucifer. And Lucifer himself, we know him as Satan, comes to see Jesus in the wilderness. And he says what he has said to every other man who's walked the earth. He says, "I will convince him to serve me. I will convince him to serve me." And all of his minions say, "We have to go after this one. We've tried over and over again to get him to sin, and we can't do it." Who is this man? Do you not know? I don't think Satan knew exactly who he was from the moment he was born. He was worried, but he didn't know. You guys following this? He didn't know. And none of his minions knew for sure who this man was. But they know there's something different about him and that they need to attack him. And Lucifer says, "All right, you guys step out of the way. I'll go." And Satan himself goes and visits this man. And Jesus fasts for 40 days. He's in the wilderness for 40 days, fasting. He's hungry. He's empty. And Satan comes at his weakest point. How many of you have experienced that? At your weakest point, along comes the enemy. And he says, "I'll get them here. I will cause them to suffer. And then I will point the finger to God and say, why? Why did you tell me to serve them? They should be serving me." And he says, "I will convince him." And he says, "No man can withstand what I have to give." That's what the devil says. And he says, "I can give him everything." And he goes to Jesus in the wilderness. And he says, "Jesus, you're hungry. Whoever you are, if you really are the Son of God," whatever that means, "if you really are the Son of God, turn this rock into bread. Turn these stones into bread and feed yourself. Use your power for yourself, Jesus. Use your power to keep yourself alive. That's what all mankind has been doing for as long since the garden. That's what I've convinced them to do." And Jesus says, "No, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And he refuses to use his power for himself. And then Satan brings him up to the top of the Temple Mount, and he looks down and he says, "If you really are the Son of God, certainly the Father would not let you die. Why don't you jump off the mountain? He will send his angels to protect you. Because it says in this word that you love so much, Jesus, it says in this word that he will keep your foot from getting dashed against the stones." I misquoted that. "But go do this to prove that you really are the Son of God." And he says, "I will not tempt my God." And then he takes him off to a high mountain and shows Jesus all the kingdom of the world. And he says, "Jesus, I will give. I know what you've come, by the way, to do. If you really are this Christ, I know what you've come to do. You've come to rule the world, have you not?" He says, "Listen to me. I'll give you a shortcut. I'll give it to you. You can have it if you would but worship me." And Jesus says, "I will worship none but God." And Satan leaves him and says, "I'll come back at a more opportune time." That's what he does. And so the question is, who is this man? Satan is sitting here thinking, who is this man who I have no power over? Who is this man who I have no power over? And Jesus leaves that place in the power of the Spirit, and he goes and he starts walking around Judea, Israel, all over, and healing the sick, casting out devils, doing good. We see Jesus turning bread, or taking a few loaves of bread and turning it into many. We see Jesus taking the fish and turning them into many. And we see Jesus doing for the people what the devil could not convince him to do for himself. He's multiplying food for them of which he would not do for himself. He's healing the sick, and they're wondering, who is this man? Who is this man that every time he touches the lepers, they're healed? But yet it's against the law to touch lepers. Are you guys following that? He says he's breaking the law to heal them. Who is this man who thinks he's above the law? On the Sabbath day, Jesus is going and he's healing the sick on the Sabbath day. And they say, well, hey, no work can be done on the Sabbath day. We got like a spotlight moving around. We can just turn that off. I'm looking at people and everyone's just looking at the ceiling. Everyone's like, what is this, dance party? And so we have Jesus coming around, healing the sick, doing all this good to all these different people. And the devil's wondering, when is this guy going to do what I think he's going to do? And so the Pharisees and the devil all thought that this Jesus is coming to exalt himself and put himself on the throne. Are you guys following this? So he says, this is what Jesus has come to do. He's coming to exalt himself and put himself on the throne. And they all started to be afraid that this was going to take place. The Pharisees thought that if Jesus really did exalt himself to be put on the throne of Jerusalem, then Rome would come and crush them. And the devil thought if Jesus came and exalt himself and put himself on the throne, then his dominion in this world was going to be over. So everyone is afraid of what this Jesus is going to do. And everyone's asking this question, who is this man? Who is this man that is raising the dead? Who is this man that is healing the leper? Who is this man that's, when he touches the blind, their eyes open? Whenever he touches the deaf, their ears open. Who is this man? And so the question, Jesus actually asks his own disciples, who do these people say that I am? Who am I? And they'll say something, well, you're a prophet. You're a prophet. You're like Elijah of old. You're a prophet of old, right? They did miracles too, right? Do you know Muslims today, they venerate Jesus, do they not? Did you know that? Who do they say that he is? Just a prophet. Just a prophet. Good teacher. Who does the world say that Jesus is? Either a liar, or they'll say he's a good teacher. You know, I've heard it said by many people, the world doesn't really have a problem with Jesus. They just have a problem with the Christ. Nobody's got a problem with Jesus, the man, who went around doing good. But is he the Christ? If he's the Christ, that means he's the Lord. And this is the question that was before all these people 2,000 years ago. Who is this man? I think sometimes we like to think that if we were back then, we would have called him Lord. I think we deceive ourselves. I think we do sometimes. But anyway, so the question is, who is this man? The reason that the Pharisees said that he shouldn't be healing people on the Sabbath is they called it work. They thought he was working. Why? Because they thought that someone who has the power to heal would only be healing to glorify himself and to build his own ministry and to build a kingdom for himself. So they said, you're working towards an aim. And here's what I'm trying to bring up, if I could. And I know I'm just butchering this. This wasn't what I had prepared to talk about, but I wanted to say. I got Dory with me. I would say that what I would try to say is what the devil never understood and the reason why he fell, and what the Pharisees never understood and the reason why they denied Jesus, is because nobody understood love. No one understood that the Christ would be motivated by love, not by power. And that Christ would be motivated to bring healing to the people, not to exalt himself over the people. What they didn't understand was love. They didn't understand it. And so they rejected him. They didn't understand love. And so Satan finally thinks that he's got Jesus cornered where he wants him. And he comes to Jesus and he says, or he comes to Judas really and the Pharisees, and he sets a trap for Jesus. And he says, hey, if I can't convince him to sin, at least I can kill him. You got it? If I can't convince him to sin, if I can't cause him to fall, at least I can kill him. And so he goes after the Christ to kill him. And he betrays Jesus by through the hand of Judas amongst the Pharisees. And Jesus stands before Pilate. And what does Pilate say? He says, "Behold the man." Who is that man to you? Who is he? Can I ask you who he is to you? We've been talking about getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And we said that you can get filled with the Holy Spirit and change your life from the inside out by asking the Father and he'll give it. But I say that's actually not totally true. Jesus has to be Lord in your heart before you can come to the Father and ask. Are you okay with that? You have to settle in your mind who this man is. And so Jesus walks to the cross, and everyone's wondering, why does he not defend himself? Who is this man who walked freely back to Jerusalem knowing that they would kill him? You see this line, the disciples are trying to tell Jesus, don't go back to Jerusalem. Last time we were there, they tried to kill you. If you go back again, they will kill you. And Jesus says, it is for this reason I have come. And he walks, and he sits in front of the Pharisees and the religious leaders who are accusing him of blasphemy and heresy. Why would they accuse him of blasphemy and heresy? Because he claimed certain things about himself that no man is allowed to claim about themselves. They said, you make yourself equal with God. Blasphemy, right? I like what, you know, what Jason, you said, what does the world say about him? He says he's a liar. At some point, you have to get to that point in your own life. Do I believe that Jesus is who he said he was, or is he a liar? Who is this man? And he stands before Pilate, and Pilate says, behold the man. Who is he, though? Pilate says, I find no fault in him. This is all prophetic. This is all prophetic. This is all happening by the will of God. I find no fault in him. Who is this man in which there is no fault? And Jesus, like a lamb before the slaughter, goes to the whipping post, and they tie him up to the whipping post. And he says, why are you tying me? I mean, I'm making this part up, but why do you tie me? I would have willingly stayed here. I would have willingly stayed here. Jesus, when they came and they bind him to begin with, to carry him away from the garden, he says, why do you bind me? As if you think I would fight back. I was here in the temple preaching. You could have bound me anytime you wanted. I would have willingly come. And he willingly goes to the whipping post. He says, you don't need to bind my hands. I'll stay. And they beat him. And the devil says, I finally can rid myself of this man who threatens my kingdom. And they carry him away to the cross. He actually carries his own cross for as far as he can until his body starts to give out. And they nail him to it and they hang him up on the tree. And it was in that moment when there was no denying who he was. Even the soldiers said, certainly this is the Son of God. How did they know who he was? It was because he did not defend himself one time. And it was in that moment that it was revealed that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And in that, we find revealed who God really is. He's the one that suffers on the behalf of those who hate him because he loves them. He's the opposite of Satan, who seeks to use his glory and splendor for his own power. And so the question, finally, Satan says, I finally got rid of this man. He was a thorn in my side for a while. And Satan comes, goes back down and sits down on his throne in hell. And says, finally, the deed is done. And lo and behold, a man appears before him there. And before Satan's very eyes, this man is revealed. Who is this man? He says to Satan, "Who do you say that I am?" He says, "You're a dead man." And Jesus says to him, "No, no, no. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I go by many names. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I am the root of Jesse. I am the Son of David. I am the King of Glory." Who, do you know who I am? I am that I am. I am that I am. I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. I am Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. I am the Lord. That's what he says. Who is this man? He is the Lord. He is the Lord. And it says that he took captivity captive and he led a great exodus out of the pit of hell. And all those who had fallen before were carried off by the Christ. And he pillaged hell. That's who he is. Are you guys okay? That's who he is. That's the man, Jesus Christ. And and death could not hold him. He returns. He raises from the dead bodily in flesh. And he appears to his followers. And he says, "I am the Lord." And they fall down and they worship him. And for the first time, he receives true worship as God. He is God. Come in the flesh. You can say, "How is this possible?" Sometimes you just have to say, "Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe." How many of you believe? How many of you believe? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Is there anything else that we should be doing? Who is this man who claims to be God and is God? He is our Redeemer. This is what the Bible has to say about this man. John. In John chapter 1. This is what he has to say about the man, Christ Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." He is the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Do you want to be a child of God? Jesus. 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 Stop all your trying. It's Jesus. Do you want to be called the Son of God or the daughter of God? Be given eternal life. It's Jesus. When are you going to stop fighting against him? He came to the Apostle Paul, who before he was the Apostle Paul, and Saul was his name prior, and Saul is killing Christians. And he comes to him and says, "When are you going to stop kicking against the goads? When are you going to stop resisting me?" He says, "Lord, who are you?" I'm saying, "I am Jesus, the one whom you persecute." It's the revelation of Jesus that changes your heart, changes your heart, life. Everything about you changes when he becomes Lord. Without Jesus being Lord, all you have is religious activity, and that falls really short, does it not? It's nothing without the person of Jesus. Oh, do you need Jesus? You need him. As many as receive who? As many as receive Jesus, he gives the right to be called sons of God. to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but who were born of the will of God. That's what we talked about last week, being born of the Spirit. Does that make sense? That's who it's called. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has revealed him. Do you want to see God? What do? You worship Jesus as the Christ. Amen. So today, as I said, I had five sermons prepared, and that wasn't one of them. But I was sitting in this office, and I just felt the Lord say, tell them about me. Tell them about me again. It's just Jesus. I don't know why we complicate this stuff. It's just him. In him is everything you've ever wanted, everything you've ever needed. If you've come addicted, if you've come in pain, if you've come depressed, if you've come stressed, if you've come anxious, it is just Jesus. Like, there's nothing else to preach. It's just, if you come to Jesus, he restores everything. He restored me. He restores you. He restores everything that you give to him. He restores everything. And so I wanted to pray for everybody today, and I'm going to try. And JC, you can come up. But what I want to do today is, how many of you feel like today is the day you want, and you don't have to raise your hand, but just in your own heart, I'm planting my flag on Jesus is the Christ, the Lord of all. And I'm not moving from here. I'm going to worship Jesus till the day I die. What happens if something bad happens to you? Does that change the fact that Jesus is the Christ? What happens if things don't turn out the way you want? What happens if you go through a sickness or a disease? When you're in the midst of sickness and disease, where should you turn? Jesus. When things fall apart, where should you turn? Jesus. Where can you go that Jesus is not already there to protect you? You say nowhere. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's always been Jesus. It will always be Jesus. He is the Lord. Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? You just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I choose you. And you know what he says? The risen Jesus. This is what he says. In Luke chapter 24. He's sitting with his disciples, the risen Lord, his last word to him in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. It says that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he revealed himself in all of the Bible that we call the Bible. And how many of you wish you were in that room and you could have heard Jesus say, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. And he's turning the pages. This is me, 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 this is me. The whole thing, he says, it's about me. All of history is about the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. And in his name, only in his name, is there eternal life. Your sins can be forgiven, and he gives you a fresh start. How many of you have received this fresh start from him? Amen, 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 amen. How many of you need a fresh start right now? Who are you going to go to receive it? Jesus. He told his disciples one time, I'm not even done with Luke, he told his disciples in the book of John, he preached to all the people, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And a lot of the disciples and the people who were following him left because they couldn't handle that truth. They were offended by it and they fled from him. And Jesus turns to his close friends and he says, are you going to leave too? Do you want to leave me too? And Peter says, where am I going to go? You have the words of life. Where are you going to go? It's to Jesus. And he says, all of creation was created by me, was created for me, and I uphold it the entire time. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He expounds the scriptures to him. And this is what he says. It was written and it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. How many, have you partaken of this remission of sins in Jesus' name? Have you partaken? He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. What's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. He says essentially this. I'm going back to return to where I was, but I will not leave you alone. I will send to you my Spirit. And it will be to you as if I was present with you always. How do you sense and feel the presence of Jesus? It is through receiving the gift and the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, and that he would come upon you and he would start to reveal Jesus to you. Your mind, your heart was changed because of the Spirit of God. It says in the book of Acts, whenever the people were filled with the Spirit and they started to preach. Peter's very first sermon in Acts chapter 2 says he preached and he told the people that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And it says all of them were convicted, pierced to the heart, cut to the heart because of what they had done to the Christ. All of us have to have that moment. What have I done? What have I done? I have wounded him. I have wounded him by my actions and my behavior, my attitude. I have wounded the Christ. And the response is always what they said. It is, what must we do then? What have we done? Is there any hope for us? That's what they said. We have rejected the Messiah. And Peter said to them, repent. Is that easy? It's hard. Is that easy? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And after you have been forgiven of your sins, something else is going to happen to you. What does it say? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The very next chapter, he preaches again, chapter 3, his second sermon. He says to them, a new group of people, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord's presence, which is the Holy Spirit within. How many of you need refreshing from the Lord? Oh, Lord. And that he may send Jesus Christ to you, who was preached to you before. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. He sent the Lord to bless you in turning every one of you away from your iniquities. Amen? He can change your heart if you give it to him. And that's really what I want to do today. My dad, if you want to come up too, Dad. What I want to do is, my dad and I think what we want to do is we want to go around and we just want to lay hands on every single person in this room. And we want to pray for every single person in this room that you might receive the gift of your Father, the Holy Spirit. But I say this gift is only given to those who are willing to receive and to make Jesus the Lord. Are you willing to make Jesus Lord? Just decide once for all. Father's Day 2025 is the day you never look back. You never doubt, you never question, and you receive the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to do is we're going to go around and we're going to pray for every single one of you. You know, sometimes I get nervous before I preach. Sometimes I don't. But every time I get nervous, you know what the Lord tells me? He says, Nate, just go love the people. Just go love them. Don't perform for them. Love them. And I felt like the Lord said, "What?" In my heart, I said, Lord, well, what better way can I love them than if I pray for them that they might receive this gift? And so he says, go. Some of you have already received, quote unquote, you know, an encounter with the Lord. Some of you have never really had an encounter with the Lord. Let today be the day. But let it be today. I don't care if you need to be refilled, filled again. Christians tend to leak. We get excited with the Lord and then something happens. And we start to get afraid again and we bottle ourselves up and we get protected and we build some walls. And we say, no, not. And what do you need? To be refreshed. Refreshed by the presence of the Lord. That's what you need. So some of you, like today, essentially what is going to happen is we're going to pray for you. I believe you're going to receive something from the Holy Spirit. You receive everything from the Lord by faith. May it be unto you according to your faith. So before we start praying, I'm going to have us open our hearts and let JC sing, and I'll sing with him. You can stand, you can sit, you can close your eyes. I don't care what you do. It's just you and the Lord, and you start to prepare your heart. If you don't ask him for anything, you never receive anything. It says you don't have because you don't ask. I want you, everyone in their own heart, to sit here and ask the Lord for something. Lord, I want something from you. And there's something that you need to receive from Jesus today. Some of you need a new start. Some of you need a new life. Some of you are so far from God, you can't even like imagine ever being acceptable to God again. I'm saying by his Spirit, he makes all things new. And literally, in a moment, addictions can fly off of you. And when the Spirit of God comes, in a moment, your heart can change. And in a moment of seeing Jesus, everything can change. So, you know how desperate some people are to receive him? Whenever he was walking through the crowds, some of the people, there were many people that were sick in Jerusalem, but only one lady reached out to touch, said, if I could just touch him. For one second, everything about me would change. If I could just touch this Jesus. Who is this man whom the people who reach out to touch the hem of his garment are healed of all their diseases? Who is he to you? Is he the Lord? Then worship him and receive from him. Reach out and touch. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Would you open? If you would open to me, I would come in and eat with you. And we would have fellowship together. You and God again. Just like it was before you sinned, before you had failed, before you separated yourself from me, before you ran from me, we can restart because of Christ. So as you just prepare your hearts, and we'll go and we'll pray for you that you will receive this gift today.